Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. Talk to Chris Russell coming up at 2:30. Talk about the Caps. I do at some point, whether it's this hour or the next hour, I got 30 minutes in the 3 o'clock hour before we give way to the Heist Star at Nats Park and then Nats on Deck. I want to talk about the whole concept of instant replay, which is weird because I feel like, here's the thing. Eric, help me produce the show. Eric, board op, producer, call screener, one-man band extraordinaire. I feel like replay is a good topic that we could talk about and, like, people will call in and, like, we'll have some good debate. And it'll be fun. But I also feel like I'm supposed to be talking about the Capitals because they're about to embark on game two of defending the Stanley Cup. And they looked awesome in game one. What do I do?
Well, we have an hour and a half left in the show, so we can do a little bit of both. We talked about the Caps with Wino. We got Russell coming up.
So, like, if I do Reuben Foster here and the replay thing next, that's not terrible?
No, I think that's good.
Okay. Well, actually, let's do this. Let's do Reuben here, maybe a Redskins draft thing next. Get back to the Caps with Russell, and then we'll see. But that's kind of what we're going to do between now and the end of the show.
It's a good on-air production meeting.
We did it. I mean, you don't do them off-air, so you got other stuff going on. You had to produce for Dan Colco. I was like, whoa, television's Dan Colco sitting in the studio. Look at you, you sharp-dressed dude. Go be on TV now. I'll take care of the radio from here. So, Reuben Foster gets nothing. Well, easy for us to say. He gets two game checks. It's a lot of money. But ultimately, he is going to be able to play completely this year for the Washington Redskins for every game that he is available. Statement from Redskins president Bruce Allen. Everyone in this league is held to a higher standard. Reuben understands that his past actions have led a lot of people to doubt him, and he is committed to doing the work necessary to earn the trust of his teammates, our great fans, and the NFL. The Redskins have put in place a comprehensive responsibility and accountability plan to help Reuben be successful on and off the field. Elements of this plan, including individual counseling, a structured living arrangement, weekly meetings with club player engagement directors, weekly meetings with our team chaplain, and targeted community service engagements. We have been very clear with Reuben that his past does not have to determine his future, but the responsibility is squarely on him to change. Reuben must fully adhere to the plan we have developed for him. Reuben knows that we simply will not tolerate any future conduct that is detrimental to the Washington Redskins organization or to the NFL. End quote. This is the best statement Bruce Allen's put out in a long time, and hopefully it is not empty. And what I mean by that, and I'm not suggesting in any way, I want to be really clear about this, I'm not suggesting that it is. I'm merely saying, like, if this is the plan, this seems like something that might work. I texted a lot of people, obviously, as you would think my job would entail, yesterday, kind of about this and where everybody was at with the news. And a couple texts I got back were almost verbatim the exact same. This is good for him and good for us, but he has a long way to go. And I think what's important to realize here is we're dealing with a couple of different things. One, we're dealing with the issue at hand, if you will, which is the incident in Tampa, which resulted in him getting cut by the 49ers. And based off of the NFL's investigation and the Tampa law enforcement, I don't remember exactly who wound up, whether it was the county or the city or whoever. I just remember calling like six different agencies and getting bounced around like a ping pong ball that was being used on seven different ping pong tables when I was trying to hunt down like police reports and stuff. But law enforcement in Tampa declined to move forward with charges. The NFL, who knows, if we don't suspend guys, we're going to get killed publicly. and always will look to suspend at least a little bit, came down with no suspension. So I think what's relatively clear, actually, I don't even want to say that. It seems as if Reuben Foster was innocent of what he was accused of, based off of those things. I say that with full knowledge and cringing while I say it, because statistically speaking, that's not the case. But in this particular case, also knowing some things or hearing some things that I'm not really allowed to say on the air, because I heard them either secondhand or I have not been able to confirm them myself, like, it seems as if he was innocent of what he was accused of here, while understanding that women typically do not make these kinds of things up. It's just not something that happens. But in this particular case, this is now twice with this woman where there seems to have been some real issues with her credibility and the accusations actually occurring as she stated them. So that is one thing which is essentially now behind Reuben Foster. The question now is, why does this statement from Bruce Allen and multiple people to me behind the scenes say Reuben has a long way to go? Is it simply, as the statement says, that his past actions have led a lot of people to doubt him? Or is there a bigger reason that the Redskins have put a comprehensive responsibility and accountability plan in place, that he has individual counseling, a structured living arrangement, weekly meetings with team personnel, and weekly meetings with the team chaplain, and very specific targeted community service engagements? And, by the way, to me, the most interesting sentence of this entire statement, the responsibility is squarely on him to change. Change from what? Why does he need to change? Before we proceed, a statement from Reuben Foster. I'm grateful to the Washington Redskins and the NFL for giving me this second chance. I appreciate the support I've received from the league, my team, my union, to help me succeed. I want to thank Commissioner Goodell for the time he has spent with me and for his understanding of me as a person. I accept the NFL's decision and want to say that I'm truly sorry for my past actions and the people who may have been hurt by them. Going forward, I will follow the plan outlined for me and work hard to earn back the trust of my teammates, the NFL, NFL fans, and the community. I know that my success is all up to me, and I am committed to not letting you down. I think what we're talking about here is generally a maturity thing with Reuben Foster. Reuben Foster's upbringing was, from what I know, fairly hellacious. And when you go through that kind of trauma, there are real effects. When you experience loss, when you do not have stability as a child, like, these are not things you cannot overcome. LeBron James just, the report that just came out, the deep dive the New York Times did on the I Promise School and what LeBron is doing now, shows that a kid with LeBron James upbringing can overcome those circumstances to make great positive change in the world. It's not that you can't, it's just that it's harder. For every LeBron, there's 100 kids who are in the criminal justice system or dead, just being blunt. So in a way, for Reuben Foster to have made it to the NFL is, of course, a tribute to his talent as a football player, but is like some tribute to his ability to survive to this point. But you can't survive in the world acting in a way and in the ways that he has so far. He's got to learn more about how to exist, thrive, and succeed in modern American society, nevertheless just survive. And I don't mean that like conforming to anything, not meaning that to say like he's got to be someone that he's not or anything like that. Just like, if this dude wants to be able to continue his career and his chosen vocation as an NFL linebacker, he's got some work to do. And the Redskins are fully aware of that. And I think what's interesting is how they go about trying to push him in the right direction. And one thing that I really like about what is said in this statement is that this is on Reuben and it's on these professionals around him, from counselors to whatever this structured living arrangement is. And it's not necessarily on hey, we're going to have him buddy up with John Allen and Daron Payne and Ryan Anderson and Landon Collins. Because the oldest person of that group is Landon Collins, and he's 25. I think those guys are going to have a huge impact on whether or not Reuben Foster is successful. All of his former teammates at Alabama, all guys that are stand-up guys that seem to have their life together in some form or fashion. For Collins and for, well, for Allen, he's married. And I might have a kid on the way, but is certainly mature enough to, like, he at 23 is more mature and ready to be a parent than I am at 29. And for Landon Collins, he does have a kid running around and seems to be a great and engaged father in building a family unit and all of these things. Providing a stable, he's used to providing a stable environment for another human being. Not that Reuben Foster's his kid, it's his teammate, but like having these adults around is good. But ultimately, it's on the professionals who do this kind of stuff for a living, and it's good that Reuben Foster is going to have access to these in order for him to hopefully be a successful human being. There's also a football side to this. We'll dive into that next, and we'll talk about talk about the Capitals with Chris Russell. It'd be really weird if we were talking about Chris Russell with the Capitals, though would be an interesting segment, not the one we're going to do at 2:30. I'm Craig Hoffman with you on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's Eric Arnold producing the show. I'm Craig Hoffman, just at his mercy here on 106.7 The Fan. Chris Russell will join us, speaking of being at someone's mercy, coming up at 2:30. The Rooster will join us to talk about Los Capitals. Talking about the Redskins now, though, Reuben Foster, they have their clarity. Foster fined two game checks. That's something, by the way, I need to figure out, and I'm now talking about doing my job out loud again, which is something that I'm really bad at. But like, I need to figure out why. Why two game checks? Like, if he didn't do anything wrong, so you can get suspended, then why is he getting the game? Or why is the game checks not a thing? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But ultimately, my guess is there's some form of conduct detrimental to the league that doesn't cross to like, hey, guilty of the things he was accused of. That'd be my guess. Hey, you embarrassed the league, and so we're going to fine you a little bit, and like, you've kind of been a pain in the ass, but ultimately, like, you didn't really do anything wrong, but you can still act better next time. That, to me, is kind of what this says. But also what it does is it frees up the Redskins a little bit as they think about moving forward at inside linebacker. Now, they still could use an upgrade at Mike. So, Reuben Foster's a Mo linebacker. He's the role that Zach Brown played. Why Zach Brown's no longer here, on top of other reasons, including that he's not that good. Wait, what? Zach Brown's not that good? Yeah, you know who signed him? Nobody. The league tells you. / I told you. Just saying. But ultimately, Reuben Foster is now your starter at Mo linebacker. He doesn't have to prove anything. He was a first-round pick. They brought him in for a reason. They were willing to take whatever PR hit for a reason, because they believe in his talent. Jay Gruden thought he was a top 5, top 10 talent in the draft he came out in. So now, can he be that guy? Well, they still need someone to play next to him and call the defense. Sean Deion Hamilton certainly has some potential there. There was a lot of times when people were watching Foster and the 800 other Alabama defenders and were going like, wow, who's this Sean Deion Hamilton kid? And where'd he go? Well, he got hurt. You weren't focusing on him, but he kept showing up on tape. And then he got hurt, and then he was gone and became a fifth-round pick. Well, if he's healthy, which he is, could he be the kind of prospect that he showed to be a near second-round type of talent when healthy at Alabama? Maybe. But is that going to stop you from taking Devin White if he falls, the kid out of LSU? Hell no. Is it going to stop you from taking Devin Bush at 15, potentially? No. I think there could be other players they like better. Then White, no. That kid's a stud. He might go 5 to Tampa. I keep seeing that more and more. It's pretty. He's now getting mocked in accordance with his talent. He's a near perfect middle linebacker prospect. He has incredible leadership skills. He is a true sideline to sideline player from a speed standpoint. Bush has a lot of that. He's not the mental processor and leader that White is, but he's physically right there and makes a lot of the same plays. So if either one of those guys is available and you believe in them as the leader of your defense moving forward, then you take that guy, pair him with Foster. Sean Dion Hamilton's your backup at both spots. You maybe move on from Mason Foster if you need to do a post-June 1st cut a Ruski. And you create a little space, and that's your squad moving forward. Or you even keep Mason as a veteran in the room. But you still have Josh Harvey Clemens on the team, and you have a role for him. He was a draft pick just a couple of years ago, and you've been transitioning him to linebacker. I think there's options there. Options are good. But I think the biggest football impact for Reuben Foster being reinstated now is even simpler. They need him to learn stuff. And phase one of OTAs starts this week. I actually saw Josh Norman posted up on Instagram. He wound up on the same flight as Deron Payne back up here. I think they must have been coming from Atlanta, knowing where Josh spends his offseason. So we don't get to talk to them yet. We'll probably have a conference call actually this week. But ultimately, like, you're gonna have guys on the field this week. Not with coaches, it's weight room only. But getting Reuben Foster in and around his teammates and getting him in the classroom to be able to learn as part of team activities is critically important. And just waited to the last second, but the weekend before OTAs, Reuben Foster's now allowed to be essentially a member of the Washington Redskins organization, not just a guy who has some gear and can use the weight room. He is a part of the team now. And I think that's critical for them as a football team moving forward, is taking a guy who has a lot of learning to do and needs to figure out, like, what he's going to be as a football player. Because as much as we all talk about Reuben Foster's talent, it's not like he was killing it in San Francisco on the field and just had problems off it. He's been bugged by injury, but he also hasn't been that good. And so you do have to wonder, you know, San Francisco also has not been good, and their defensive line has been pretty terrible. They've now got some pieces. But there's a reason they've done a ton of investing in that defensive line. It's because it was bad. And I don't have to tell you that defensive line play has a major impact on linebacker play. So with John Allen, Deron Payne, the best unit on the team in front of him, all those guys, I think it's worth saying, like, of course you take the risk in terms of talent. If you're the Redskins, you understand why they think he as a football player can succeed here. Nevertheless, all of the other stuff. All right, let's talk about the Capitals with Chris Russell next. Also, I got another Redskins thing I want to do later, because I wrote a piece for thefandc.com, and I feel like when I write stuff, I should probably talk about it on the old radio. Could the defensive line be another target for the Redskins in the first round? There's one player that could turn that answer to yes if he falls. So we'll get to that coming up. We'll also get to the replay bit and a little bit of NBA, as those playoffs will start in about 3 minutes. But we're talking Caps with you and Chris Russell next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our continuing coverage of the 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI, with Office Furniture Solutions for every budget. Visit PVIPVI.com. I'm Craig Hoffman, joined now from Capital One Arena by the one and only Rooster. That is our Caps insider, Chris Russell. Rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo to you, sir.
A cock-a-doodle-doo to you, Mr. Hoffman. How are you?
I am good. I'm excited. I'm ready for game two. I can't imagine how much more excited you are because you are going to be in the building as this game gets started in just about 30 minutes. To you, let me start here. What is the biggest storyline you are following going into game two after the mostly low-stress win of game one? Obviously, things started a little crazy. Things got a little crazy at the end, but the Caps really did control that game. What are you looking for the most this afternoon in game two?
Yeah, from a hockey perspective and from a Caps perspective, Craig, they need to generate more scoring chances, especially five-on-five, where they didn't quite honestly have anywhere close to amount or the amount that you would desire. They got fortunate because Carolina couldn't stay out of the penalty box. But then as the game wore on, after allowing those two first power play goals, they didn't allow any shots on goal in their last two power play opportunities. So if the Caps, say, don't get those power play opportunities, or if Carolina truly has adjusted how they played those first two power plays, which allowed Nicholas Backstrom to set up shot right in front of Peter Mrazek and score the second goal or the first power play goal, and then allowed Ovechkin to just keep firing shots left and right for the third goal before eventually burying it, they made those adjustments later on. So if the Caps don't get those opportunities to begin with, or if the Caps can't convert on the power play when they get those opportunities, Craig, that's what I want to see the Capitals get better at, because they need to, again, generate more chances at five-on-five. They need to be smarter with the puck. They need to forecheck their butts off, quite honestly, a lot better to, you know, kind of bring some physicality to the game in the offensive zone and make sure that the puck stays as close to its south of the goal line as they possibly can. So that's, from a hockey sense, that's what they need to do. I know that's what Todd Reirden wants them to do, but that's what they need to do to try and win this game.
I'm going to ask you what may seem like a stupid question, but why on earth would you give Alex Ovechkin room to shoot on the power play, which seemed to be a fatal flaw in the Hurricanes' plan in game one?
Yeah, I mean, but they had a lot of fatal flaws. We were just talking to Rod Brindamore, the Carolina head coach. You know, he said, about an hour and a half ago, and he's like, look, we're not going to change anything systematically and structurally. We just played it for you, you know. So, but they played it much better as the game wore on, as we just kind of chronicled, right? Again, they allowed those two first power play goals. You're absolutely right. They allowed Alex Ovechkin to set up shop and to have all sorts of opportunity. But then as the game wore on, they shut them down and they limited them to no shots on the last two power play opportunities. So again, while they did not do a good job early, they did a hell of a job late in that game shutting them down. They did allow a couple of breakaways on, you know, five-on-five situations. But again, back to your question about Ovechkin, you can't give him that much time and space. The only thing that I think they were trying to do is, okay, it's kind of like, and you'll understand this because you're a big basketball guy, right? It was like when Michael Jordan was in his prime, or when Kobe was, of course, in his prime. Do you shut down Kobe and let the others kill you, or do you shut down the others and let Kobe kill you, basically? And that's maybe what they were kind of thinking was, okay, control the other guys, and if Ovechkin beats us, Ovechkin beats us. So maybe that was kind of their thinking in some of their early plan and attack, and it did not work.
Yeah, like, that's the difference is that makes sense in basketball because you score 100 points.
Right,
in a sport
right.
where you're only scoring once,
I
would say, hey, let's not let that guy score once. Okay, so the Capital or the Canes found ways to shut that down. How do the Capitals adjust and get Ovechkin more shots so that they can continue the scoring like it was in the first period the other night?
Well, again, I think that's where we go back to what Todd Reirden said yesterday, and what, again, I know will be a much bigger emphasis, and I was saying this yesterday afternoon with Grant and Danny, before Todd actually spoke about it, so I was glad to see him, you know, kind of essentially say the same thing that I kind of thought was, again, you have to, instead of trying to always penetrate the blue line and carry it over and try and look for space off the rush, to me, I think you have to dump it in a little bit more, and you have to then, again, forecheck and put the pressure on them to get an entry out of the zone, to get a clear out of the zone, or to try and use their speed and transition that Carolina is very good at to go all 200 feet of the ice. So if you can pin them back behind the goal line again and then use your physicality, and we saw the Capitals very, very physical with a number of hits, Orpik, Wilson, and quite honestly, a couple of other guys on Thursday night, if you can force them to maybe make a mistake beyond their goal line, then that allows you to cycle the puck, or it allows you to make a play from, again, behind Peter Mrazek or off to his side. That's what the Capitals, I think, did not do a good enough job of the other night. And then you can get Ovechkin either off of a pass that goes to the opposite side, and as the defense blows there, boom, he comes back on the other side. Or here's another thing you can do. If you're the Capitals, right, you can stop missing the net as many times as you do. Quite honestly, it was a big problem during the regular season. They had the fourth most missed shots of the net in the league, Craig, and they had a bunch of them on Thursday night. I think they had 18 or 17 of them on Thursday night. When you get your opportunities, you have got to hit your target and make Mrazek make the save.
So you're saying don't shoot like the Nats bullpen pitches?
No. You do not want to be Justin Miller.
No. Hit the target. Please. DC Sports, please hit the target.
Yeah, or Kyle Barraclough, or, well, the easy one would be Trevor Rosenthal. Yeah.
Yes, as discussed. Chris Russell with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline from Capital One Arena, where things are getting ready to go. By the way, the game will be on 1500 a.m., and then starting with Game 3 coming up this week, every single game of the Stanley Cup playoff run for the Washington Capitals will be right here on 106.7 The Fan. Defensively, this is where the concerns come in.
Yep.
Orpik was great the other night, but Juice was not good. And he's the guy that I think has to step up to replace Kempney, who is obviously out. When I had Wino on about an hour ago, he said that was his biggest concern. Is that also yours?
Yeah, I mean, he only played just south of 8 minutes. Now, some of that is explainable, as Todd Reardon tried to yesterday, by saying, look, he doesn't play shorthanded. He's not going to play on the power play. Okay, I got it. But the bottom line is they don't trust him defensively, and that's part of the reason in a one-goal game, especially when it got to 3-2 and they were hanging on for dear life, why he's not regularly out there. Now, this is going to be a problem moving forward. You know, last year they had some problems like this. They had instability on the third pair with Brooks Orpik, and it was actually Christian Juice that stepped in the second game of the Columbus series and really solidified that. So, yeah, that has to be your hope, that Christian Juice obviously went through a tough injury during the regular season. I think maybe rushed a little bit back. Clearly wasn't the same. It's taken him a while to kind of get his sea legs under him or whatever. And maybe you get that chemistry that you got last year that you weren't expecting last year. The problem is that you got a double dose of that, like you were saying, with Michael Kempney and John Carlson last year, and then Juice solidifying the third pair with Brooks Orpik. Now you have the question about Juice still, right? And you have the question about that top pair that you didn't have necessarily at this time last year, because Nick Jensen, who was brought over at the trade deadline before Kempney went out, Nick Jensen, he's kind of struggled a little bit defensively. He hasn't been as good on the PK as they were hoping. He's still got a lot of talent. He's still got a lot of skating ability, but he hasn't quite been everything that they were hoping for, at least yet, to kind of solidify that top pair.
Rooster, we look forward to the coverage as always. Let you get and go get settled in your seat 20 minutes until the puck drops over at Capital One Arena. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Tal. I just got to point out, you know, Grant Paulson, who, of course, you know, works with us, he's sitting down in the front row today. He was in the front row against the glass on Thursday night.
Yes,
now
he was.
Now he's fallen back. He's in the front row of the press box because he's front row Paulson instead of press box Paulson. I just want to point that out.
Oh, that's good to know. Eric, yes Eric?
He was also, if you watched the Nats game last night, he was second row behind home plate last night.
Yes, I'm aware of that. He just showed me the pictures of his seat.
Can you hand him the phone? Are you in a play? Or is he too far away? Have you walked out?
Yeah, he's probably too far away at this point.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is you're not front row Russell.
Exactly. Exactly. No doubt about it. I mean, at least he allowed me to pay for his lunch today because he didn't bring cash with him. You know, the big TV star himself. So I had to pay for his lunch too.
What I was going to ask if I got on the phone was like, who the hell is your agent? Because clearly you're doing better than me. He's on the glass. He's in the front row. Yeah, I mean, he knows all the PR people to get the good press seats. Good grief. We got a superstar on our hand.
It's not bad to be Grant Paulson.
No, it's not. Unless you want a donut. But that's a different story.
I can't have a donut either.
That's true. That's true. Shame. Shame for you, all of you. All right. Enjoy the game. See ya from
Appreciate your crappy seat.
Bye. Front row rooster. I feel like that's a meme waiting to happen. Someone get the Fruitcake Emporium on that.
He sounds a little bit bitter. Just a little bit.
That actually sounded more humor than bitter to me. And trust me, bitter is a tone that we're all very familiar with Chris Russell. That didn't sound bitter to me. That sounded humored. Like, oh, look at Grant. Just living life. Let's get Paulson on the phone. Hey, let's make sure this doesn't cost extra to call to the front row. Make sure it's not collect either. All right. So Caps pregame is going to be starting here in just moments over on 1500 AM. And that is where the game will be found today as well. We'll have the Nats today. Don't worry about why. It's beyond our control. But here's what you need to know. Starting with game 3, every single Washington Capitals playoff game of the 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs will be right here on 106.7 The Fan. If you want to listen to Caps coverage, I won't be mad at you. You can go to 1500 AM. We're going to talk about other stuff. I'm just going to assume that if you want to listen to the Caps, you're going to go there. And so we're going to talk some hoops next, both on a replay front off of the title game for Monday, and the NBA playoffs are getting ready to start, including some breaking news from the first game. That is next. I'm Craig Hoffman with you here on 106.7 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Before we continue with other things, we must allow a man to defend himself. Craig Hoffman with you on The Fan. If you were just with us at the end of our segment with Chris Russell, the Rooster, unabated to the quarterback, if you will, not asked, not anything, suddenly seemed to throw Grant Paulson under the bus.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I just got to point out, you know, Grant Paulson, who, of course, you know, works with us, he's sitting down in the front row today. He was in the front row against the glass on Thursday night.
Yes,
now
he was.
Now he's fallen back. He's in the front row of the press box because he's front row Paulson instead of press box Paulson. I just want to point that out.
So we go to the front row now, and Grant Paulson is standing by on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. I feel like there's some implications there, Grant, that you are, like, have graduated beyond the rest of us or something. I don't know what the Rooster's accusing.
I'm not really sure what the accusation is either, Craig, but I know that he's been very bothered by this. I got here today. He was kind enough to escort me to my seat. He'd already memorized on the seating chart where I was sitting. Let me know that it was in the front row. He started calling me front row Paulson everywhere I went. He's very bothered. I'm not really sure why. He is in the top row, unfortunately. But I have a seat. I think this is what bothers him. With the NBC Sports Washington crew, we are in seats 1 through 9 on the east side of the press box in row 1. And Russell's directly behind me with the radio affiliates. Our good friends, of course, 106.7 The Fan, all of our listeners. I happen to work there as well. And I think he wants me sitting next to him, and that's just not the case today. So he's very upset about this. I just go where they send me, Craig. I got to tell you, I didn't lobby for this seat. I'm happy to have this seat, but I just go where they tell me.
Okay, so now I get to the hard-hitting journalism, though, where the Rooster did continue, and I think he may have a point. You also have been front row Paulson in a literal sense, not a press box assigned sense, but you have been on the glass for game one, and you have been very, very close to the Washington Nationals baseball team.
It's true.
Like, literally, what? Who the hell is your agent, and how do I get that?
I don't have an agent. I wish I did. I like what you're referring to. But, yes, I'm on a heater right now, is I think what you're trying to say. Thursday night, we sat on the glass. We banged the glass for game one of the playoffs. It was a dream come true. Pretty incredible. And then on Friday, some tickets presented themselves last moment from a player to be named later. And not actually a player, a friend of mine who has seats in the President's Club. And they said, hey, I can't make it to the game. Do you want my seats? I said, sure. I waddled into the stadium expecting to sit, you know, somewhere in the 200s or 300s. And lo and behold, I was sitting next to Anthony Rendon in the on-deck circle. So I'm very happy about this. As a D.C. sports fan, it's been a great couple of days. It is not lost upon me how lucky I've been. And hopefully these days will continue, but you can't walk away from the table on a heater. So today we were in the press box on the sixth level. I think it evens out. It's like a mean seating of, what, the 300s or something?
Yeah.
So I think it all evens out now.
Hockey press box, very high. You know, with that attitude, Grant, I'm okay with it. I was going to be a little bit bitter and just be like, yo, like, what, leaving the rest of us in the dust here.
Well, but how about this?
Considering you appreciate it, I appreciate you.
And I appreciate that you appreciate me, that I appreciate it, and I appreciate saying the word appreciate. But I'll just say this. Russell is bitter enough for both of you. He has mentioned it a lot today. He is very upset about this. There is legitimate anger. It sounded like fun on the radio, but it's really driving a stake between us today. So just know, however little amount of bitterness there might be, Russell's going to get enough of it out for everyone.
That's good. But also, next time, bring cash. Like, you know how the press box works, man. Buy your own lunch.
I need them to do a debit card situation.
I agree, but we all know the score. We all know the score.
2019. I need them to make an adjustment for me.
That or just, like, tell the person who's taking in, like, keeping track, I'll Venmo you $10. Do you have cash?
Exactly.
Like, I agree with you on principle, but you know what you walked into.
It's a firm stance that I'm taking, but yeah, you're right. It doesn't get me anywhere. I can scream at the ocean to stop having waves hit the sand. They're going to keep coming.
It leaves you asking a bitter Chris Russell for money for lunch.
Well, that was the best part, is he's been wearing me out for like 15 minutes since I got here about, oh, look at you, front row this, front row that. And I said, oh, by the way, I need $10.
Perfect.
That went over really well.
This has been my favorite segment of the show. Thank you.
You got it, buddy.
Enjoy the game. See ya. That's Grant Paulson on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline from the front row of the press box, because he's living large, because as is well known by anybody in the media, TV always wins. Hey, we do the same stuff. Theirs just has pictures. Cool. Go to the back. It just is. But now Grant Paulson's a TV star, and I'm happy for him. Good for Grant.
I can only hope that he'll remember the little people.
Yes, those of us stuck talking to him on the weekends, creating content out of his success. That's what just happened. No, let's be honest. We're creating content out of Russell's misery, and that is a well that will never be empty.
Yes, that will never be dry. We'll always go back to that well.
So NBA playoffs have started. Of course, the Capitals will be starting here in just a few moments, and Joel Embiid is playing. That is the breaking news I referenced in the last segment. He's now going to be running back on defense because J.J. Redick threw a horrid pass. But he's had a hot start, and it is currently a 7-10, because I'm a sports professional, know how to say scores instead of just reading them left to right. 10-7 76ers up on the Brooklyn Nets early in the first quarter. But Joel Embiid, who has missed a lot of the tail end of the regular season, he's played a couple of games here and there in limited minutes, but has been out a lot in the last about 3 weeks of the season. He is playing. The knee injury apparently healed enough. Started this game, has played the first 4.5 minutes. The big thing to watch for him is obviously not just how he looks early, which is good, but if he goes and sits down when he comes back, does he maintain his movement quality? Or does, as he stiffens up, things go awry? So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that game. And obviously, we'll keep you updated on the Caps should you choose to keep listening here. If you want the Caps game itself, it'll be on 1500 AM. I am with you until 3:30 today. That is when we give way to Nationals coverage. And next, I would like to spend some time on instant replay in sports in general, but specifically with one rule in basketball that reared its ugly head on Monday night. I'm Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. If you are going, why I tuned in for the Capitals, last game of the postseason that is not on this station is game two. We will have Nationals baseball coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have the Capitals right now on 1500 AM. You can catch the game there. I won't be mad at you. But we're gonna talk about some other stuff because I figure if you want to talk about the Capitals, then you're going to be listening to that. So that's on 1500 AM. Again, you can go and change station. That's a little FM AM button on your car. And yeah, it's on TV on NBC Sports Washington. So watch. Actually, no, sorry, it's not. It's on NBC. So you can watch that there. Which means also I at some point need to change the station on this here TV, which is going to be hard to do while also talking into this microphone. So Monday night, this was good for one of the local teams, if you count Charlottesville as local. Redemption, whatever you want to call it. All of a sudden, when it looked like they could be on the road again to embarrassment in the first round after losing to UMBC last year, Virginia was down again to the 16. They come back, they win again. And all of a sudden in the national championship game, they're locked horns with Texas Tech. And ultimately, we know what happened.
Hunter hit the shot at the end of regulation. Does it again.
Odiasi just didn't cover, didn't communicate. And Hunter's stepping up big time.
They come back from three down to put up five unanswered to take a Tupac lead.
Did he just say a Tupac lead?
I think he said Tupac lead. I'm not sure.
It's Jim Nance on CBS with Bill Raftery.
Ooh, onions.
I have a Bill Raftery story in a moment. But like the one defensive breakdown of the game is enough. But there's also a little help for Virginia and a call that I would like to discuss, and that is the out of bounds that got overturned. I'm an avid pickup basketball player. I've been playing the game my entire life. It is a love. It is a passion. It is something that I enjoy watching, playing, consuming, discussing. I know most of you know me as a football reporter and a talk show host, but like basketball is kind of my thing. If we're playing pickup on any court in America, that ball is out on Virginia. And we all know the call that we're talking about here. When it's swiped and the ball barely deflects off Texas Tech, and technically the last guy that it hits is a Texas Tech player. But like it's Texas Tech ball, and Virginia knocks it out of the guy's hands, out of bounds. Because Virginia knocked it out. And for 100 years of basketball, that's out on Virginia. But now, because we can slow it down in slow motion and see, oh, well, technically it's still on Texas Tech's fingertips. We're changing that call? Are we really correcting it? Or, I mean, I guess the way the rule is written, yeah, we're technically correcting it. But is that rule right? Because we've played this game for 100 years now, and never before have we called it that way. And so it comes down to, we want replay to help us get calls right, but we're going to have to be a little clearer sometimes about what is right. Because when we think about what happened in the NFL with the Saints, like, that wasn't right. They should have been able to fix that. But we said we can't review penalties, so Saints got screwed, the Rams went to the Super Bowl, and then they changed the rule. And I think that's okay. Like, I think we can rewrite some of these rules. And ultimately, my solution for replay in every sport has been the same every time this has ever come up since I was old enough to have a real opinion with some thought on this, which is, if you can't correct the call in 30 seconds, just keep it on the floor. I want replay to correct the obvious. In no way was that obvious. And I think that what you can do is change the rule specific to this instance in basketball. And I don't know if anybody cares about this beyond me, but like, this is something that burns within me with a fiery passion. And if you play pick, like, if we're playing pickup and I knock the ball out and I'm like, hey, is that off of you? You can be like, no, you knocked it out of my hands. So if you change it to a player, unless there's an obvious deflection, then you fix the rule. Like, if I knock the ball out of your hands, off of your knee, out of bounds, that's out on you. If I knock the ball out of your hands and I somehow have ninja reflexes that I'm able to get my hand off the ball before it's off of yours, it just shouldn't be out on that guy. And I don't think any reasonable person is going to disagree with me. And I've realized as I'm doing this, this is not as good of a talk radio topic as I wanted. But, like, it has started 1,000 arguments in pickup games for 1,000 years. Or maybe not 1,000 years because I haven't played basketball that long, but you get the point.
Well, it opens the topic of like, how nitpicky does replay get? Because that's a pretty nitpicky overturn.
Right. That's kind of what I was trying to say.
And it took forever for them to come to that decision.
Like, replay should, and this is the bigger point. That's why you're good at your job, getting me back on track. Replay should enhance the game. In no way did that enhance the game Monday night unless you were invested in Virginia as the winner. It slowed the game down. It changed a call that is such a technicality that no one feels good about it. And, like, it just is not, it's not how we play basketball. PJ's in Reston. Thanks for calling, PJ.
Yeah, I support always trying to get the call right, even if it sometimes extends the game a little bit. Even when you got a nitpicky call like that, that is so close. I mean, it did look like in the end that they got the call right, and that's really what matters. The same thing with the Saints and the pass interference thing. There's ways that you can add nuance to it, that you're not just challenging every single pass interference call. You can add something like, you know, a coach on top of the challenges. You get two PI calls. You can use the game. So it's not unlimited. You know what I mean?
And yeah, and that's the thing. In the NFL, it's not unlimited. Like, they changed the rule to allow those to be reviewed, but they didn't change the number of reviews.
Yeah, I mean, there should be a cap on it. And this way, like, it's a strategy of, like, when the coach uses it. Also, with the Tech UVA game, what if they would have just done this? The call was so close, I do think they got it right. But between the Texas Tech kid and the UVA kid, what if instead, when it's that close, they simply just do like a jump ball between the two, as if it's like a possession where like both guys got their hands on the ball, they do a jump ball. Well, what's your thoughts on doing that?
Well, so in college, that would be weird because they don't do jump balls outside of the start of the game. And PJ, thanks for the call. We're up against the break. But, like, they would go to the possession arrow, and that feels like a terrible thing, too. But, like, that actually is the rule. Simultaneous possession out of bounds that results in out of bounds is a jump ball. And it happens, I don't know, once a month in the NBA, and you see it, and you get a jump ball. But ultimately, like, that wasn't this scenario. This was player A knocked the ball out of player B's hands out of bounds, and it just so happened to graze player B's fingertips on the way out, or was still on his fingertips on the way out. And now we're calling that out on player B after 100 years of basketball. We called that out on player A. Like, that's crazy to me. Replay fundamentally changes the sport in a way that I'm just not comfortable with, because I don't feel like it's enhancing the sport at all. All right, coming up next, let's do the world's fastest NBA playoff preview, and then we will give way to Nationals baseball here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan for the next 10 minutes. Again, if you are looking for Caps Canes, it is on 1500 AM. 1500 AM, you can get Caps and Canes. And then every single game of the rest of the Caps run in the playoffs starting on, was it Monday game three? Tuesday game three. Whenever it is that game three happens, I'm focused on game two right here, right now. They will be right here on The Fan.
It is Monday. Game three is Monday.
So that'll be after Chad Dukes versus the world on Monday. Right now, we have the NBA playoffs underway. That is happening as Brooklyn is up on Philly at the end of the first quarter. Had a strong close there. Put up 31 spot in the first quarter. It's 31-22. So let's do this. Let's spend about 30 seconds each on every single NFL, not in the NFL playoffs anymore. NBA playoffs. Good grief. NFL offseason, NBA playoffs. We have our time of year correct. We do. All right, 30 seconds. Let's start with Brooklyn and Philadelphia since they are going at it right now. We'll just go in chronological order down the games tonight and tomorrow because every single series will be one game deep by the end of tomorrow. So Brooklyn and Philadelphia happening right now. Joel Embiid is playing in this game, and really, to me, how effective he is will determine the outcome of this series. If he is the best player on the floor, which he should be if healthy and playing well, then he's going to be enough to power the Sixers past what is a really good Brooklyn team. I cannot believe how good they are, considering they have had zero path forward in building their assets. It's why Trajan Langdon, their assistant GM, is on the Wizards' radar as a potential replacement for Ernie Grunfeld. They have done an incredible job, Langdon and Sean Marks, their GM, of building this team. But ultimately, like, D'Angelo Russell's still pretty young and has no playoff experience, and he's by far their best player. So between Embiid, Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, like, the Sixers should have enough to pull this out. And they just have to lock down and actually do it. Toronto-Orlando. Orlando had finished the season really, really strong. But Toronto, when they have Kawhi Leonard, is just insanely good. Kawhi, really exceptional playoff performer. Obviously, going back to winning the 2014 NBA Finals MVP. This is a guy who can single-handedly take over a game. Orlando, like, Nick Vucevic just doesn't scream playoff guy to me. They can kind of play Kawhi at the four and maybe run him off the floor. They now have Marc Gasol, obviously. The trade they made at the deadline, unloading Jonas Valanciunas in favor of Marc Gasol, has got a little bit more range, can pull Vucevic away from the rim. That lets some of their slashers, Pascal Siakam, Kawhi, get to the rim. It allows Kyle Lowry to get to the rim. And so I do think Toronto is a very formidable team that could even give Golden State a little bit of trouble in the finals if Kawhi is doing his thing. Speaking of Golden State, by the way, Orlando-Toronto, that game is 5 o'clock on ESPN. L.A. at Golden State, 8:15 on ABC tonight. That is going to be a fun series because these teams are going to get up and down. Lou Williams and company for L.A. just trying mercifully to keep up with Golden State. But ultimately, like, Golden State's still Golden State. We now get to see how this works in the playoffs. They also have the post-up option with DeMarcus Cousins they haven't necessarily had in the past. And I say not necessarily because they could still always dump the ball down to Durant in the post and get a bucket. But obviously, more perimeter-centered Kawhi, Clay and Steph. And I am fascinated to see, depending on how this series plays out, how this affects everything moving forward. I kind of want KD to leave Golden State at this point. It just seems like misery, and I would love to see them get back to just Steph and Clay and a million threes and kind of the way it would be. Hell, bring Luke Walton back as an assistant. He's available. San Antonio at Denver. This is what everyone's upset special because San Antonio, and Denver's Denver. But, like, Nikola Jokic can play. If you haven't had a chance to watch this guy play, the way they move the ball, Jamal Murray is terrific as well. They have a lot of talent around Jokic, who's kind of their center of their basketball universe there in Denver. There's a reason they're the two seed. But San Antonio does obviously have LaMarcus Aldridge, who is a very potent offensive talent. DeMar DeRozan, who used to play with Kyle Lowry in Toronto and was always kind of not a great playoff player. He's going to see what he can do under Greg Popovich in San Antonio, picking Denver in the series, but obviously everyone has their thoughts on it. All right, I got 4 minutes left. We got four series left, and I got another thing I want to say too. Indiana and Boston. Boston is, outside of Golden State, the most talented team in the NBA, but figuring out how to use that talent has been an extraordinary struggle, and it is now time to put up or shut up. They have a ton with Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford. And really, Horford is the key to a lot of this because defensively, he's what makes them come together. The other guy that did that, though, is Marcus Smart. He's out. Now, do I think they can get past Indiana? Absolutely. They don't have Victor Oladipo. They've somehow continued to win a ton of games, but they just don't have the star power. Kyrie can take over these games, and that can be enough for Boston. But moving forward, they need Marcus Smart to get back because he completely changes the attitude of that team. ABC tomorrow, 3:30 game, Portland, Oklahoma City. Paul George, who's incredible this year, he's going to probably finish third or fourth in the MVP voting. He was that good. And obviously, Russell Westbrook averaged triple-double again. But Portland has just continued. They're the Wizards of the West in a lot of ways, except for it went better. They've continued to just build on this core of McCollum and Lillard, and you just wonder, like, is that ever going to be enough? Oklahoma City is the 5 seed here, Portland the 4. Portland's always a tough place to play, but Oklahoma City has more talent. That's who ultimately I'd pick, but I'm very curious to see because Portland is a good team, and that should be a fun series to watch. Detroit at Milwaukee. Look, Milwaukee's got Giannis. They're insanely good. They've got some injury things that give me more long-term questions. Brogdon, et cetera, Mirotic. But, like, Giannis is going to win the MVP, and he deserves to, in spite of what Harden has done. Like, Giannis, his ability to take over a game, both ends of the floor, like, go 40, 10, and 10, and then also block 5 shots and have 4 steals and be disruptive otherwise, is he might be the best player in the world right now. I can't believe I'm saying that because he's still so young, but that dude's incredible. And Detroit, like, Blake Griffin's had a hell of a year, but Milwaukee's the one seed and had the best record in the league for a reason. Utah and Houston, this is going to be fun, kind of almost as an experiment. Houston has really come around and is probably Golden State's biggest threat again, and they obviously believe they can beat Golden State. They believe they should have beat them last year. But Utah can do some things that other teams can watch and go, okay, how can we play Harden this way? They've got multiple guys who can defend out on the wing, guys like Jay Crowder. Ricky Rubio is actually a really good defender, so you can throw smaller guys, bigger guys at Harden. And you also have Gobert back to protect the rim. And so ultimately it comes down to, do you want to kind of push Harden to just shoot all the time and say, like, yeah, if you're going to hit step back threes and score 50, that's fine, but we're not going to let you have 50, 10, and 10. Like, you're going to have 50 and then 2 assists. So that's, I think, the strategy there. Utah will try different things. Let's see what works. And that ultimately I'm picking Houston in that series. Caps just scored. Ovechkin. 1-0. I thought I saw Ovi celebrating. Ovechkin making plays, hit, go to the front of the net, and get puck, put puck in back of the net. And the Caps are already up 1-0 early in the first period. Again, if you want that game, it is on 1500 AM. Game 3 and every game beyond will be right here on 106.7 The Fan.
It was actually Backstrom that scored.
Oh, it's Backstrom? Okay, Ovi just celebrating. I saw you celebrate. I looked up. I saw an Ovi fist pump.
Yeah, it was an assist from Ovechkin. So.
There you go.
3 goals for Backstrom in the series now.
Thanks to Wino and Russell for joining the show. Thanks to Eric Arnold for producing. I'm Craig Hoffman, and we'll see you next week right back right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.